morning, and God is good. He's really good. We're doing a series on a verse in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, which says, in the Amplified Version, it says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Praise God, yeah. And that's Paul speaking. A man who could say those things, couldn't he? He could say it. Don't think really it sits very comfortably with us as speakers. We've had some great sermons down the last few weeks, but it doesn't sit easy when it says imitate me. Just ask my family, do they want to imitate me? They probably say no. Yeah. But in the best possible way.
Well, they should say yes, because there's quite a lot of things about you which are worth
yes. Oh, thank you. Thank you, yes. Thank you. Yeah, do you want to come and live with me? You can come and live with me. Yeah. I'm not dishing my family now. I'm sure underneath all that, I am loved, yeah. But you know what I mean though, don't you? In our family situation, that is really the difficult one. That's the real one, isn't it, really? Yeah. Yeah. I better stop this now. We'll go back. I'm getting myself into deep water. Deep water. Oh, dear. Deary me. Okay, if you've got your Bibles with you, or your apps with you, or your mobiles with you, let's get them out. And we're going to read Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 10. I'm reading this in the Amplified Bible. I know Jim likes the Amplified, and I do too. So I'm reading this in the Amplified, but follow it anyway. And this is what it says, and this is my prayer, really, and I hope it's all your prayers. It says this, for my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers. That's you and me. And that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death, in the hope that if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Not that I have now attained this ideal or have already been made perfect, but I press on to lay hold of, grasp, and make my own that which Christ Jesus the Messiah has laid hold of me and made me his own. I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. But one thing I do, and this is my one aspiration, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. Praise God. The NIV verse 10 in that passage that we read there is translated this, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Yeah, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, we can know it, we can experience it, and I want to know it, do you? What a power that must have been. Unbelievable power, and that power, guys, is available to you and me, that resurrection power. We've been singing there that Jesus lives in us. Let's read another passage of scripture. This is Romans chapter 8, starting to read verse 5. I'm reading this out of the NIV. This is a challenge to us. says this, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It doesn't submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, and me, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If you're a child of God today, you know Jesus is your Savior, then the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, is living in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Oh, glory. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you live by the Spirit, you put to death the misdeeds of your body, and you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. That verse 11 again. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. Is He? Yes. Put your hands up if he is. Well, amen. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of the Spirit who lives in you. Are we living our lives in that approach? When you get up tomorrow morning, on Monday morning, and it's work again. Or for me, it's just leisure again. Yeah? I've done my 50 years. You're doing your 50 years now, right? Sometimes, you know, you have this conflict. Should I be really sitting here doing nothing? Yeah. Should I? Should the government actually be putting money into my account? Because you're giving it me, by the way, guys. But, you know, I say to myself, hang on, I put enough in down the years. I've done 50 years, and it's a difficult one. You get that tension, you know what I mean? But no matter what you're doing, whether you're retired, whether you're working, whether you're at college, whether you're at university, get up on that Monday morning and go for it, guys. Because the power that raised Jesus from the dead is living within you. Whether you feel it, whether you recognize it, whether you know it or not, it's the truth of God's word. It's what God says. It's what God says. Read another verse now from 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27. We're going round the versions today because I'm reading this out of the Message. And this is really, again, my prayer. It says this. It says, I don't know about you, and I don't know about you, and you don't know about me, and I can't talk for you, and you can't talk for me. But this is for me. And I'm saying, I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. And I don't mean that finish line. I mean the finish line that God's got for me, yeah? I don't know what it is. I don't know if I'm only just starting off. I don't know if it's 100 meters, a 400 meters, or a marathon. But I am going for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping, telling everyone else about it, and then missing out myself. It's okay me standing here today spouting off, yeah? But if it's not real, if it's not imitate me, if it's not real in my life, then it's just words into the ether. And we can easily do those words. We can easily do it. And I'm not saying in the slightest, guys, that I'm perfect in any way. I'm not saying I've made it. But if I had a prayer over my life, this is the prayer. And I've had prayers over my life for ever since I was in the womb, because I know my mum, you know, was a prayer warrior. But I still haven't got to that finish line. I still haven't achieved. But I want to, yeah. I'm running hard for that finish line. I've referred to this before. In fact, I spoke about 12 months ago, roughly 12 months ago, and the topic was wholeheartedness. I could basically have just took the whole notes and done that sermon today. A lot of things, but I referred to a song, an old song. It's called Casual Christian by a group called DeGarmo and Key, American group. One of them's died now. I think DeGarmo died, I think, a few years ago. But they had a song called Casual Christian. And one of the lines says this: I don't want to be a casual Christian. I don't want to live a lukewarm life. You know, it's a tragedy, guys, but so many Christians just live casual, lukewarm lives. You know, and we can easily get into that if we're not careful. We can just become casual. We can get casual with our Bible reading. We can get casual with our prayer. We can get casual with meeting up together. Nobody's going to miss me if I don't go to church. Nobody's going to miss me if I'm not at the group. Yeah? Who's going to know if I don't bother reading my Bible? We can get casual, can't we? The enemy wants us to get casual. He wants us to get out of relationship with God. He doesn't want us on fire. Yeah? He doesn't want us singing, "I want more of you, God." He's saying, the less you can have of him, the better. That suits me fine. If we're just a damp squib, what's the point? Yeah? If we haven't got the life of Christ within us, what difference are we going to make into our community? You know, Jim was talking last week or the week before. He said this: no struggle, no progress. You know, who's really, I want you to put your hands up, but who's really finding it dead easy living this Christian life? No hands. You won't find any hands. No struggles, no progress. I've just been praying with Karen here. It's been a struggle this week for me with Gillian passing away. Really, it's been a struggle. I can't understand it. I've got a why question. When I get to glory, why, Lord? When we've been crying out, we've been asking, and why not? We don't know, do we? It's a struggle. Oh, it's a struggle. If it had been my choice, what would I have done? Yeah, we know what we'd have done. That poor family and the church, what they're feeling today, what I'm feeling today, and I'm not really that closely involved, even though I do know Gillian. But it's one of those difficulties, and I'm sure you've got those, maybe not on a larger scale, as large a scale as that, but some of you have. Why hasn't God done this for me? Why hasn't God opened that door for me? Why is this situation still like that? But what are we going to do, guys? Are we going to say, well, pack it in? No. I hope not, anyway. The song that Andrew played when we first started this series was a U2. I still haven't found what I'm looking for, yeah? I don't know what you're looking for, but I'm still looking for it, yeah? I found Jesus, yeah? But I'm looking for more, yeah? I'm looking for more. I want more. Do you want more? I'm not satisfied. I want more and more of more, whatever that may bring. Even if I'm not included, Lord, I want you to come more, yeah? If I'm taken out of the equation and God comes more, not a problem. As long as God comes in his fullness, he comes in his power, shows himself, that's what we want. You know, I watched that TV program. You probably don't watch it because it's a daytime program, but I was watching this daytime program, and as sometimes you do, and it's called Wanted. Am I making you really jealous now? Jim, looking at me, yeah. Oh dear. It's called Wanted Down Under. Has anyone ever seen it? Wanted Down Under, yeah. But it's one of these programs that when you start watching it, you get into it, you know. You get into it with the family. You get into watching it with the people and everything. And you want to know what's happening. But basically what it is, if you don't know, it's families. And they take them for a week's holiday to Australia. Because these people want to move to Australia. I'm thinking, maybe you're going for a week's holiday. I've got no intention of going to Australia, but I fancy a week on the free, don't you? But anyway, so they go to Australia for a week. And they say, yeah, we want to come over here. We want to bring our families over here. And this is what we'd like to do. And they showed them all sorts of properties and whatever. And some of them, because there's a follow-up program, they look at the families who've actually, what have they done? And they say, where is that family now? And there they are, standing outside this mansion in Australia. Some of them are still at home. They haven't gone. But that's the program. But what I'm trying to get here is, get back to my notes, is that basically, when you go to Australia, it looks idyllic. The sun is shining. The beaches are beautiful. The houses are massive. Yeah, the money is double anything you can get here. They all go into these jobs and they say, oh, what's the money? You know, I'm earning £20,000 in the UK. Oh, well, you get £50,000 here. Whoa, you know, and it all, it's idyllic. But you know what, guys? They never go back 5 or 10 years later to see these people because I'm telling you now, nothing changes. Without God in the center, nothing changes. You can have anything idyllic you want. You can have the biggest mansion, the biggest car, the biggest job, the most money. But without Jesus in the center, nothing. And those people, it all looks this fancy stuff. But without Jesus, guys, it's nothing. Imitate me, Jesus says. Imitate me. That's the key to satisfaction. That's the key to finding what we want. In the original version, it says, follow me. It's imitate me or follow me, Jesus is saying. Follow me. Follow what I do. Follow my example. Follow the example of Christ. And you know, guys, it's an action thing. We used to say back in English, when I was doing English a long, long time ago, I did do English, by the way, that it was an adjective. It was a doing word. A doing word. They don't say that anymore, probably, now. But that's what it is. It's an imitate or follow. It's a doing thing. Yeah? 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 Oh, a verb. I said, what did I say? Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, I did. It was a long time since I did English. What was an adjective? It was a verb. Sorry about that. Yeah. These poor people listening to the tape must be thinking, good heavens above. But no, it's a long time since I did English. I didn't get English O-level either, by the way. But I did pass it later in life. I was a slow learner. But anyway, the verb, it's an action. Yeah, it's an action. Yeah? Guys, are we in action? Yeah? Mark's here, he'll tell you about action. We were standing in Ormskirk yesterday, just on the hearing on the streets, and this noise was in the air. I haven't got a clue what it was. You couldn't see a thing. It was cloudy. And Mark says, that's a helicopter, Chinook, whatever, you know. He knew the sound of it. Why? Because he's been in action. Yeah, he knew that sound. He'd been listening for it. Come on, rescue me. Get me out of this situation. He knew what it was, yeah. Why did I say that? I don't know. But you know. Hey?
Action.
Action. Yeah. Action. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says this. It says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do. That's whatever you do. That's for your job. Yeah? It's your social life. Whatever you do, not just whatever you do on a Sunday morning between the hours of 10:30 and 12, or whatever you do at that other prayer group you do, it's whatever you do. Our whole life, yeah, has got to be Christ-focused, Christ-centered. Our whole life, whatever you do. And the question comes, are we living our lives for the glory of God? Yeah? Are we living our lives? It's okay in here, this nice, warm atmosphere. But it's out there, guys. That's where the action is, yeah? That's where the action is. That's where the struggles are. That's where the rubber hits the road. Are we living our lives when the going gets tough? Are we disappearing or are we standing? It's great to hear these testimonies people have been sharing about speaking to people and talking to people. And I know others could too about in the work environment. It might only be a word here and a word there. But, you know, it makes a difference. How you're living your lives, your attitudes, your behaviours, what you watch on the telly, what books you read, what you're talking about in the conversation. Yeah, very often you'd hear people talking. You get it on Facebook. Now, I'm friends with a lot of people. They put something on Facebook and they want to watch this and they want to see that. I haven't got a clue because I wouldn't touch it with a barge pole. Yeah, but you know, Christians, we do. We get suckered into it because everybody else is into it. But if it isn't doing me any good, bin it. Been it. No good. Let's live those wholehearted lives in the resurrection power of Jesus and make a difference. Do you know you can make a difference? You might hear people coming up and give a testimony today and think, well, I can't do that or I couldn't do that. Guys, you can make a difference. You are the difference. You might be the only difference to your work colleague. You might be the only difference to that student in university. The only person you meet on the train or bump into in the street. You can make a difference. You see, if we don't, who else is? Who else is going to be the influence? Or how else are people ever going to learn about Jesus if it's not through you and me? Who else? We've got to have people. And we are Jesus in the streets. We are Jesus in the community. We are Jesus in our workplace. That's why we want people to imitate us. What sort of an impression do I give of Jesus? Well, I don't want to go anywhere near him. Or I don't want to follow his lifestyle. I don't want to be like him. He's a backbiter. He's a gossiper. He's a swearer. Yeah. That's no good, is it? What sort of imitation am I giving? What sort of imitation are you giving? The people are saying, good heavens, I like that guy. I want to follow him. He's got something I haven't got. How many times has that been said to you and me? You know, what is it you've got? Or what is it? What's the difference? Why do people ask us, could you pray for me? Why? Because they know, they spot there's something different about us. We are carrying the resurrection power of Jesus. I'm glad we sang that song. I've got it in my notes here. I want more of you, Lord. Is that your prayer today? I want more of you, Lord. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. Yeah. And that control word doesn't mean that we just go off like mad people. Yeah. Right. What it means is it's bubbling up inside. There's so much set afire that it just has to come out. Yeah. It has to come out. We have to be disciplined. It doesn't mean that we just go off at tangents. But it means God is in us so much. He dwells in us so much. We have so much of it in our lives that it's just got to come out. You know, it says in the Bible, they could see they'd been with Jesus. Yeah? Can people see I've been with Jesus? Sam was talking about his prayer times last week. Yeah? It's evidence itself. If you've been with Jesus, it's there. Yeah? It's just there. You're either singing a song or it's in you. You just know it yourself, don't you? You just know. If you've been with Jesus, you just know. I know when I haven't been with Jesus. I know that. I don't need anyone to tell me. But I know when I've been with Jesus. When I've read his word, when I've spent time in prayer. Yeah. Praise God. I want more of you, Lord. Yeah. So forgetting what behind. See, we can't bring yesterday back. So a lot of people hanker for what's past. Can I just tell you today, friends, forget what's behind. Forget it. Leave it. Pack it up and bury it. You can't change it. So don't be dissing yourself over what happened in the past. Yeah? It's gone. It's dealt with. It's gone. Yeah? Forget what is in the past. And for some of us, it might be bad things. It might be bad circumstances. It might be difficult situations. It might be things we can't understand. But in God today, let's forget what's behind. And say, Lord, I don't understand it. I've still got questions. But Lord, in your name, I put it behind me. Now, the enemy, he doesn't forget because he keeps bringing it back. Doesn't he? He says, what about that? Or what about this? Or what about the other? Yeah, put it behind us. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee away. I don't want anything to do with you. Today is the old song. Yeah. So forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. That's the opposite. Not standing still, but straining forward. Are you moving forward? Have I moved forward? I've been a Christian a long, 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 long time. A lot longer than some of you guys have ever been alive. Probably double some of you, yeah? So it's a constant straining to what is ahead, yeah? Pressing into what God has got for me. I press on towards the goal to win the supreme prize, heavenly prize, to which Jesus is calling. So guys, my message today is let's press in, yeah? Let's press in to what God has got for us. Let's reach out with what God has put within us. Let's grasp hold of the opportunities that he's put in our way. And each one of us have got opportunities put away. I'm made up with this testimony time. But it's not just about what happens at Wetherspoons or what happens on Healing on the Streets. I want some testimonies about what's happening in your workplace. What's happened amongst your families, yeah? What's happened amongst someone you just met in the street. Now, these other things are brilliant, yeah? And I'm going to encourage you today, and I want to encourage you today. Street pastors, yeah? We keep going on about street pastors. It's a brilliant opportunity to get out into the community and just make Jesus available, yeah? I know I keep harping on about it, but it's one of my passions, so I will do. But you know, what better opportunity has the church got than the police and the council are saying, church, will you come and help us on the streets? Yeah, and the church is saying, well, we'll think about it. We're not sure. And everyone's talking about things closing down, about the church being able to speak and Christians being able to speak. Guys, this is an open opportunity. They're paying us to do it. Hey, will you just come on our streets and just do what you like? Yeah. Talk about Jesus. No problem at all. And we're not having a sing-song in the middle of town. We're not having an open-air service. But we're talking to people about Jesus. Yeah. We're giving the reason why. We're giving out tracts as required, as we can. Not all the time. We're not bashing people over the head with the Bible, but we're saying, we've got the answer, guys, to your problems. And like Adrian shared about that lady on the Healing on the Streets, people come to us and just open up and just spill out everything. And we can say, how about Jesus? The opportunity is there, yeah? Great. Healing on the Streets, we've already talked about that. What a fantastic opportunity. Absolutely brilliant. I think we played for 6 people yesterday. Absolutely brilliant. the books here. Have a look at this book and see some of the names and the people and circumstances that we pray for. One of my workmates was walking through town. I used to work with him years ago. Me and Andrew used to work with him. Came up with his wife, and he was just walking up the street. So obviously I say hello and how are you? What are you doing? And chatting with him. And his wife was one of the ladies who went and got prayed for. And I know she was very upset, and her mother had died, I think, and she was really upset. And who knows what might that will be. It's funny, you know, because we also bumped into him on street pastors a few weeks ago. And he was out with his family and chatting away, and he gets talking, and he introduces me to his brother called Chris. And I'm talking to him. It turns out that he's the guy who does our insurance. I never knew that. I've been speaking to him for years. And his brother does our insurance. As a church, he's our contact in our insurance broker. Isn't it unbelievable how these things just knit together? And it's unbelievable. I heard about Ailsa's dad. As you know, he's in hospital. We want to keep praying for him. But a brother plays snooker. And guess who he plays snooker with? Jenny Rawcliffe, one of the street pastors. He plays snooker with her husband. What a contact that is. Same to Jenny. Her husband works here in Hesfords. I see him and go in and speak to him. Who knows where that contact could go? Amazing what God can do. These little intricate things. God is doing those things, isn't he? So let's press in. Get involved in healing on the streets. We'll have another training session soon. But just come and have a look anyway. Just come and see. Come and be there. Come and pray. It's fantastic. You know, already know about the food bank. You know about debt advice. Things you can get involved in. Prayer groups. We've got the Wetherspoons prayer group. We've got the prayer meeting on Tuesday night. Just come. Get involved. Be there. Have another prayer group. I don't know. Whatever it is, do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Community opportunities are just vast. There's so many community opportunities to get involved in. And I'm involved in a few, as you know. I wasn't there at Wetherspoons on Thursday. I missed out on that one. I was at the town centre management meeting. I sit on the town centre management. It's unbelievable, isn't it, really? Just a little no mark like me. But I'm there and they're talking about all sorts of stuff they're doing. Yeah? The opportunities are there. It could be a secular thing. It doesn't have to be an overtly Christian thing. But we as Christians need our tentacles in every area and every aspect. And be involved. I'm just going to finish with, this is a prayer that I also quoted before. This is a prayer of Teresa of Avila. I don't know who she is or what she was. I haven't looked it up, but it was a long time ago. But this is what she said, and it's an important thing. It says, Christ has no body now on earth, but... Are you all right, ladies? Don't leave us now. Come back in for 5 minutes. Oh, has she? Okay, sorry. Ailsa. God bless. We'll be praying for you. Sorry. God has no body now on earth, but yours. Yours are the only hands with which he can do his work. Yours are the only feet with which he can go around the world. Yours are the only eyes with which his compassion can shine forth on a troubled world. God has no body now on earth, but yours. Let's just pray. Lord, we couldn't do this without you, without your resurrection power in our lives. We've got to say, Lord, we've got to confess that without you, we are absolutely nothing. But Lord, today we've read in your word of who we are and what we are in you. And Lord, it's not about what we feel, but it's about what we know. Because you've said it, Lord, and because you've said it, it's your word. We accept your word of who we are and what we are today. And Lord Jesus, our passion is for our community. Our passion is to reach our community for you in whatever way we can. Our passion is to reach our workmates, our family members, our neighbors. Lord Jesus, we have the answer. You are the answer. And Lord Jesus, I pray for each one of us today, Lord, that you will set a fire down in our soul that we can't contain, that we can't control, that you'll come in, Lord, in all your fullness and all your power. And Lord, you'll remove from us, Lord, preconceived ideas of this is the way we've always done it. This is the way it always happens. And Lord, just give us a fresh anointing. Give us something fresh off your altar, Lord, that will challenge us, that will stimulate us, that will move us forward. And Lord, we look for those amazing things that you are doing, but you're going to do through each and every single one of us. And I pray, Lord, that nobody in this room today will think that they can't do it. Because you are the same power in every single one of us, Lord, who knows you as our Lord and Savior. So as we leave this today, Lord, we want to be imitators of you, followers of you, drawing others towards you. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.